And I hope you know that today in your life, that he is alive, that you see him living through us in each other. All right? We're going to start a new series called Take the Leap. And this is all about the calling that God has given us. This is about us not living in fear, but knowing that our calling is based on relationship with Jesus, right? And we're gonna start with this as claiming our inheritance. It's a simple choice that God allows us to approach him and gives us the chance of how to approach him. That's what's so exciting. When it comes to Jesus, he gives us the option of how to approach him. All right? And we're going to read out of Galatians 4:4-7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that they might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons and daughters. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. All right. I want to kind of start from the very beginning, right, of this. Under the law, born under the law is not something that was exciting. In comparison today, under the law means a couple things. It's where we get our value system. It's where we get our understanding of where I belong. And in that, there comes promotions. There comes the hiring. There comes, I'm a good father. I'm a good wife. I'm a good son. I'm a good daughter. I'm getting straight A's. These are all things that we get under the law. Right? And with that, we start to find our understanding of who we are under the law. And also things that come with under the law, too, is what I'm doing horrible. I got fired is something I carry from under the law. I got F's on my grades. I'm failing. I'm a horrible friend. We can go on and on with these, and we tend to find our value under the law. It would be comparison to being on a treadmill that's the rest of your life, being on a treadmill. And I want you to know, I find that disastrous in my life, to be on a treadmill, running, going, and never stopping, right? Treadmills are like, when I was part of a gym, and I'm still part of a gym, I just haven't seen it for a while, I got to find its address again. But when I used to go, you'd have the treadmills, and it's like the first thing you see. And part of me is like, oh, I need to get on that. And then I remembered how miserable they are, right? And this is the idea here, being under the law, is on a treadmill, being just walking and going, and just, this is part of my life now. And all those things that keep coming, I get to carry, and that's where I find my value in it. That's what being under the law looks like for them and us. And we tend to find our value in those things, whether it's bad or good. Right? It's just how it is. And I started thinking about when I would go to the gym and I would see a treadmill, I usually try to find somebody that was on the treadmill that was going really slow. And I'd go stand next to them. Right? And I'm thinking, okay, all right, I look over. Okay, they're at 4.0. I'll set mine for 4.5, right? And start going, right? And then they start changing it up, doing a little incline. And then, all right, we're beefing it up, all right. I got to be at they're at incline 3. I'll be at incline 3.1. Yeah, I got this. And I found they were just warming up. And that was their warm-up. I didn't like that because they start beefing theirs up. And this is the part of the competitive side of me. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I don't care what condition I'm in. Whatever they do, I got to one-up them. Anybody ever feel that way in life? Huh? You got, yeah, that's why I hate going to the gym. Just not worth it, right? That is aggravating. But no, I'd be on there, I'm like, all right, I got to do that. I want you to know we live a life like this under the law. Under the law is always a comparison game. What they do, I need to do better. What they have, I need more. And we play that game and we define ourselves within that concept, all right? And it's unhealthy. That is not what we're called to. If you read Paul, and this is all in reflection to what Jesus has done for us on the cross. I want you to understand that, all right? He goes, I have redeemed those under the law. That's a very important statement right there, all right? That lets us know that we can get off the treadmill because our value system's not there. Our value system is a relationship with Jesus, all right? Our value system is not something that we do, carry, or live by. It is by a relationship with Jesus Christ only. And I want to show you something here. We are a part of an adoption to the sonship, all right? And this is awesome. Because you are sons, God sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an interesting word. It means daddy, right? I'm a father. I have two kids. I love them dearly. And there became a time where they would say daddy all the time. And there were moments where you're like, oh, I'm tired of hearing daddy. Would you say mommy? But there became an age where daddy was probably no longer appropriate, right? It'd be kind of odd to have my 16-year-old come up while he's around his friends and go, hey, daddy. Okay, I'd be like, all right, son, we need a tech. Let's step off to the side. It's dad in front of your friends now, okay? Because it's odd. It's just odd, right? But I want you to think about this. This is who God calls us to be with him. He's not our boss. He doesn't want to have a boss relationship with us. Because if he did, how awkward would it be to go to your boss and call them daddy? You're probably going to get fired. Right? But no, he comes to us and he says, you are to call me your daddy, dad, father, right? He's not wanting to be a friend because there's a difference between those things. I want you to understand, and I'll explain it in a couple minutes. There's a difference in those relationships of friendship versus being a parent, right? Let me give you an example. When my kids were younger, we go to a restaurant, young. There would be moments that we thought, oh, we can handle a restaurant, let's go. And then you get there and you're like, that was a mistake. Right? Anybody else? You remember those times you go and you're like, man, and you look at the waiter or waitress and you're like, I don't know what happened. It exploded. And this little one right here did it. They created this giant mess. I am so sorry. Or going to a grocery store. Big mistake. Rookie mistake. You're bringing your little ones, right? And you just think, man, if there was two different sets of carts that you could put a cage on one, I know I wouldn't do that, but that's what you think, right? And then you walk through the store and you start going, you know what? Your kid's not crying, whining, or throwing a temper tantrum. Want to trade? Right? Like, these are all funny things, but in reality, this area at church, and he had a big problem. It was almost every week we'd drop him off, we'd go pick him up, and the lady there would be like, hey, so I just want you to know, Jackson, he keeps hitting the other kids with toys. He just chuck it at their head, and it's a problem. You know, the other kids are not really liking it. And I remember having to pick him up, and I'd be frustrated with him, and my favorite pair of clothes that he usually wore on that day were overalls. And so I just pick him up by the straps and just hold him. I'm like, okay, you're not my son today, and just walk around. And I remember the old ladies of our church would just hit me. Oh, don't do that. He might drop. I'm like, well, he might need it. All right? All right? But I want you to understand, I'm his dad. I'm their dad. I joke. We would like to trade our kids and be like, I want a perfect kid. But in all reality, the perfect kid was given to us. Perfect kids, all right, were given to us. All right? Not that they are perfect in themselves, but we love them. And I take moments of where I go, I am so happy to be their dad. I'm so happy to be their dad. And I thought about this, you know, in moments of when they would go off to kids camp and we'd have a week. And the first 2 days is like, what do we do? Me and Michelle, like, this is awesome. I love this free time. What do we do? By the third day, we're like, this is boring. Bring them back, right? And I remember they get back, and whether or not they got in trouble at camp or not, like, that wasn't the first question. And, like, and I could see if they did get in trouble, the children's pastor, you know, probably said, hey, you need to go home and tell your parents did this, this, and this during it, okay? And they come back, and you get down on one knee with them, and you're like, all right, I'm so happy they're here. Whew, can I get down like this anymore? So happy you're here. And they start doing, hey, so I got in trouble for this, this, and this. And I want you to know and understand within this relationship, that wasn't the first thing I asked them. In fact, the first thing I said to them is, I've missed you. I love you. I'm so glad you're back. Because the relationship isn't based upon value, it's based upon relationships. You hear that? My value my kids have with me is not what they do on their report card. Now, yeah, I want to see them do great. But if they get bad grades, they're not my kid anymore. What? No, they're always my kid, and I always love them. If they got in trouble at school, I didn't say, oh, it's time to go find a new home. It's not what I did. More than likely, I asked them probably, so what happened? And I probably gave them, you know, a grounding or a spanking. But immediately, I could tell you the difference between me and God is like God probably wouldn't do that to us. But I will say what God has ingrained in me, I wanted to go back and give them a hug and love on them and let them know no matter what, this love doesn't leave you for what you do. It is always here. This is always home. You can't get rid of us. We love you. You see, the value is nothing that they do. The value of what they did on there is they can't get rid of that love that is established. And I understand not every parent is like this. I get that. But when it's godly parenting, when God's in the center of this, I will tell you this. It is a pure love. And he tells us to call him Abba, which is daddy, father, in this relationship. You see, what Jesus did was took us and redeemed us from the law, from what we had to do to have a relationship with them. To have a relationship with God is we had to do penance, we had to do things, we had to be living the right life. And Jesus came and said, listen, I will redeem those and they don't have to do anything. I took it on the cross. Everything was taken on that cross. So you don't earn or lose any value with God. In fact, your value is proven by what? He sent his son, to die for you. You hear that? That's how much you are valued. That's how much he loves you. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. And then we don't have to live this way because Jesus is resurrected. He lives in us, and we are no longer a slave. We are God's child because of what he did on the cross and how he defeated death. He lives in us today. And so it takes us beyond the treadmill. We're no longer having to be on the treadmill. He just does it for us. And our value is walking next to him, living next to him. That, first off, I could end it right there and be like, yes, absolutely. But I want you to know, he doesn't end it there. He says, all right, God has made you also an heir. An heir. Inheritance was a really, really big thing back then. You got everything from your dad. You got everything, including the name that was brought with it. So if your dad had a great big name within their community, guess what came with you? You were under that name. You were part of that, right? And so they use these words intentionally. We become heirs. What are we inheriting? What are we inheriting when we accept that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? What are we inheriting? We're inheriting God. Why do you think we are called Christians? For fun? We inherit his name as part of our identity. Do you understand that? That is so cool. And we get to inherit everything that God has established. And it's not by anything that we do, anything that we've ever said. It doesn't mean anything that when we think we did this, it is only done through God that we have this. He becomes our Father. And this is what's awesome about it. He allows us to claim it or not. And I want you to understand, like, what that looks like for us when we claim it versus when we go to God going, okay, God, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't do these things, right? And I was a good person. I gave, I saw people in need. I did good things too. And I want you to know, that's great. You know, people without God can do great things. That doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. You know what does? Is when you claim your inheritance. When you know, you say, God, you are my Father, and I will follow you. Do you know what that relieves you from? Yeah, you want to live for him, exactly, right? But when you make mistakes, when you don't do good for a moment, guess what's not held against you anymore? That thing. You know what is held for you? Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross. And do you know what that looks like today for us? He's alive. Do you know what that life looks like? He still carries the wounds of the cross. Why? Why does he carry those wounds? Because he loves you that much. You're valued that much. Right? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something to rejoice in today? He is risen. Amen. Let's try it one more time. He is risen. All right, church. Now let's think about this in terms of where is he risen in? Us. Us. We take, when we claim inheritance, we become his son or daughter. We are part of this family that realizes nothing can stand against us. Not because of what we do, not because of what we don't do, because God is our Father and loves us so much. John 3:16 says it, For God so loved the world that he gave his son. I want you to do something really quick. I want you to change world to your name. For God so loved. Right? For God so loved you. World becomes like something that we're like, that's so abstract. This is such a personal thing. God loved you so much, you personally, you by name, so much that he gave his son for you. So you can also be co-heir with him. That you can be somebody that he looks to and goes, you are my son, you are my daughter. And he's not going and sitting on the ground going, okay, now tell me what you did wrong today. He's going, I missed you. I missed you. I love you. Welcome back. If you remember the prodigal son story, right? Where the son did so many, he told his father he didn't want to be with him, and he took the inheritance the wrong way and went out and lived a life of just horrible decision after horrible decision, and now he has to live in that, right? And then he's going back. And he does this practice of trying to say, man, I need to go and figure out how I'm going to say to my father, I want to be back with him because life was good. It was better with this. And he, you know, he's practicing, and he goes, I will live with your slaves. I'll do the work that I need. And you have the other brother that stayed the whole time with his dad, right? And did the work, did everything, did it the right way, right? And he starts walking back, the prodigal son starts walking back, the lost son starts walking back to his family, and the father runs out to him when he sees him, embraces him when he sees him, puts a robe on him when he sees him, puts the ring on him, the family ring back on him, and says, you are part of the family, we missed you. Doesn't even give him a chance to like ask for forgiveness. Just embraces him. Man, isn't that amazing? And they throw a party. They throw a party. This is the problem, church. We have the brother that stayed behind. And he did all the work. And he was a good son. But he was frustrated that his dad welcomed him back. Welcome back his brother. He should earn it. He should do everything that I've been doing and plus more because dad, he took half of everything. And this is where God comes in and goes, no, I love him. I've already paid that price. I've already paid that price, son. Church, that son that stayed represents us in this story. Those who have known God, those who want God and believe God and have lived with God and haven't veered away from God. And we look at a world and go, they're lost, they're going to hell. And the moment they show any sign of remorse, the moment they come back, we have this idea like we celebrate, but we're also like, hey, so you need to get your life right. We start doing the wing, you know, the finger wag kind of deal and like separate us from them. And the reality is God has already paid the price. And our value is not done in what we've done or not done. Our value is found on the cross in the empty tomb. And we start living the life that we know he is risen. All right. We start realizing who our Abba, our Father is. And we have an option when we come to him. Then we go, I just claimed you. I love you. I look at you as my dad. And you embrace. So the question is this. Are you ready to claim your inheritance? Are you ready for that option to go, okay, I'm ready. This is not anything that is like I have to know every scripture. You know, the moment that you start to claim your inheritance, God starts to transform your heart anyway. And you want to know everything about God. You want to live for God. You want to breathe for God. You want to act as if God is your Father, and you want to be, you want him to live and shine through you. Right? Claiming your inheritance, you lose your old self and you're resurrected with Jesus and you become co-heirs with him. Isn't that awesome? That once the person that you once were isn't what you're bound to anymore. That God has offered you a way to live for him. to be alive for the first time. He says in Romans 10:9, says this, if you declare by your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Very simplistic. I want us to pray before we leave this morning. Go ahead, Peg. I want us to pray, and as we pray, I'm going to read this again. And if this is your prayer this morning, we celebrate with you. We celebrate with you that you have claimed your inheritance, that you are part of the family, that you look at God and go, Father, I love you. Thank you for loving me and showing my value, showing me that you sent your son to die for me and to live for me. Let's pray. God, this morning, we pray this prayer. Jesus, we believe that you are Lord, that you were raised from the dead, and you saved us. Lord, I pray this morning that we claim our inheritance, that we say yes to you. In this outside world, we don't try to search for our value in that. We know we're loved because you loved us first. We know that we're loved because you sent your son to show us. Lord, this morning, may we claim it. May we declare it. May we call you Lord. May we know that you are raised from the dead and that you live in our hearts and that we live in a world that sees how you've risen indeed. May we live out your call. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. And we do this to glorify your name. Amen. Stand with me, church. And this is what I'm going to challenge you to do this morning. We have an Easter egg hunt, and I know it's really, really cold. And what I would love to see is if you do have kids, please go out there, enjoy it. But we're also going to challenge our church to go out and just cheer them on. Get those, eggs. Let them know that we're here to love on them, care about them, that they're part of this church family, and to find as many eggs as they can. Otherwise, also what we're asking is that you just think about this week as a chance to claim your inheritance with God. And if you do, I challenge you to reach out to somebody that you know that is part of the family of God and let them know. All right?